Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips.
Hello to everybody out there who's seeking gratitude and watching the gratitude just manifest great things in their life. So yes, I did. I am a highly decorated Navy SEAL. And about 10 years ago, I went through a marriage curriculum ran by Life Discoveries. And I'm now a coach. Now I'm a marriage coach and using their tools. But about 10 years ago, I went through this program and I was very, very focused on the things that I thought needed to be implemented in life. And so I was very demanding, very forceful, very like adamant, charismatic even, about forcing people, forcing my ex-wife now, my wife then, to do the things that I wanted her to do, the things that I thought she should do. And I was actually able to see her vision of how she felt the world should be in accordance with her and how she felt loved. And I basically realized that I only showed her from the way she felt loved, that she was actually loved less than 5 times in our marriage.
Wow.
And we had been married 8 years at that point in time. So it was very, very humiliating, very humbling. But it started me on a path of self reflection and discovery that obviously you arrive to. You got to have gratitude for everything in your life.
This episode is supported by Premium Jane. With free shipping on all products, Premium Jane is dedicated to delivering the natural benefits of CBD to those who truly need it. Go to premiumjane.com and save 20% with coupon code GRATITUDE.
Gratitude for everything in your life.
Yeah, I'm sure that it wasn't an easy period in your life. And I really admire the way you got to see the situation and the humbleness and the power. This is how I see a strong person. I mean, having the power to be vulnerable, to be sincere with himself and with his feelings. That might be, in my opinion, at least harder than to look strong in front of other people.
Well, there's kind of a trick to the thing, Gregorian. Is like in the Bible, there's a verse that says, "Hey, do unto others as you would like to have done unto you." It's the golden rule. And it's really, really, like you just said, hey, you got to be true to your feelings. And I tell you, I was being very, very true to my feelings. This is exactly what I felt she should be doing. This is exactly how I felt everybody in the world should like see the universe, see Earth, see the planet. This is how the way things should go in accordance with, yeah, me, Derek, arrogant asshole like Derek. I'm going to tell you how you need to think and who you need to be. And then, but it was, I was being very, very authentic, I thought, to me, but really it was my ego mind. And I'm just like, okay, hey, I want to be better than everybody. I don't want to feel the terrible things that I feel when people don't treat me the way I want them to treat me, or my ex-wife, or my wife then treats me the way that she's treating me. I don't want to feel these things. And so I'm going to force you to change so I feel better. Like it's your responsibility to make me feel good or something.
Very interesting. And I think it's amazing that you got to see her perspective in time. And this is, as I know some people, they go through this a whole lifetime and they don't.
We're kind of chopping up here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
see you. We're kind of like losing a connection here.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's all right. The video isn't working anymore, but I can still hear you. All right, we seem to be back.
Okay, we're back.
Perfect. All right, so we will get into it before we lose the connection again. and I want to ask you, what is your favorite quote, favorite words of wisdom on gratitude, and why?
My favorite quote is by Ronald Reagan. It is, there's no limit to what a man can do as long as he doesn't mind who gets the credit for it. So the reason that this is my favorite quote on gratitude is because it allows a person to just kind of step back, assess the situation, and maybe understand that they're dealing with a child, or they're dealing with a man or woman who is just like gagging for respect and gagging for value on the planet. And if you are already sitting in a place where you value yourself, if you've already decided that you're going to love yourself and forgive yourself and accept yourself, and you know that the person across from you is just gagging for affection of some sort of acknowledgement that their presence on this planet is valuable, well, then I watched a scene once where this little kid, he comes out on stage and he starts playing the piano, and he's playing like chopsticks or something like that. And this master musician comes out and he starts playing the piano behind him, like just like kind of behind him, sitting behind him and over his shoulders. And so he just, the kid is doing his thing, right? But he's a child. And then this master musician comes out there, and the kid is just like, you know, applauded, you know, because he's out there brave enough to just like do his thing in front of everybody and I don't know, just be willing to accept praise or condemnation or whatever. But when somebody gives the acknowledgement to their presence on the planet without having to get importance for themselves and gives it to somebody else, it's just really powerful gratitude. Poem, or not poem, but quote for me from Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I think also that one of the most important things that we seek in our lives is appreciation. We want to feel appreciated by our partner. We want to be appreciated for our work. We want to be appreciated for who we are. And this is one of the main things that we want out of life and we want in life.
Sure. And if you are somebody who is wanting appreciation, then, you know, like Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see in the world. So if you start appreciating you, if you start appreciating other people, well, then the whole laws of the universe, then they just come back and the world appreciates you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it's really interesting to see that these things are general. I mean, theoretically, like being a Navy SEAL, you are like the alpha male, the strongest man on the face of Earth somehow. And I think in general, people think that if you are that and you've been through those experiences, everything comes natural. Like you know how to handle a marriage, you know how to handle a relationship, and everything has to be perfect because you got to that level professionally, let's say.
Sure.
And I think that we need to learn each part of life. We need to learn and to experience it and to get better in that part, because
sorry, I interrupted you there.
No
Do
problem.
You have anything else?
No. Yeah.
So, it's funny that you say, you know, here's this Navy SEAL that you're talking to, and he's going to be able to figure everything out. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, man, I wonder what like you wake up to and like think about gratitude every day, because I just hid behind achievement. Like, I did not want to feel like how pathetic and worthless I felt when I was in a relationship. I didn't know how to be in one. I didn't know how to be a good, I didn't know how to be a good person, much less a good husband or father or provider or anything. I had no idea. And, I mean, I could tell you why all of those things happened, but, the bottom line was I didn't know how to be that. And I wanted to avoid feeling like a useless, I'm trying to think of a word that means like just completely oblivious, right? I'm completely oblivious to my own feelings, much less the feelings of other people. And so I'm going to go and become a great swimmer. I'm going to become a great athlete. I'm going to become a Navy SEAL. And now I have the respect of the world, Gregorian, and I don't have to ask for it at all, just because I'm a Navy SEAL. But if I'm telling you, like, I felt like a pathetic human being. I felt like a pathetic man and didn't even know why I was like walking around on the planet, because I didn't deserve, and it felt like feel I deserved it, because I had no self-love. I was seeking it from everybody except inside of me. So if you think that I'm a good man, then I feel good for the day. And then I talk to somebody, you know, down the road, maybe I cut them off in traffic or something, and they hate me, right? And I'm like, no, I'm not that guy. Like, I want to be, I need you to say that I am a good person. I need you to say that I have value. And that's embarrassing, you know? That's just like, everybody on this planet has amazing worth. And, but believing that is a totally different.
Yeah.
Is it so? Actually, accepting that you feel worthless as you feel, and allowing yourself to do it—that's that's where I found the magic was.
Yeah.
But I did want to ask you what you woke up to and thought about, like, gratitude wise on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have a practice like when I wake up in the morning, I have a kind of exercise to find 7 reasons to be grateful about, like, really fast. Like, okay, what can I find right now? Because as early as we get up in the morning, we start thinking about stuff, and residual thoughts keep coming up, and you keep thinking the same things. And if you do this exercise, it's really beautiful that you can start the day and to move things forward in gratitude and in things that you really appreciate in your life. And what I also wanted to add about what you were saying is the fact that I felt something similar to what you felt. Like, I've been trained, and I've been training myself for the role of I don't know, a business person. Graduated business school, and most of my time, most of my training, my formal training was in this direction. And we are not usually trained for the role of a good father or a good husband or a good lover. And we think like, okay, if we are good in a career and we are earning money, that should be enough somehow. And it was a shock for me, because I thought, okay, I'm a man, I need to do these things, and the other things should be normal, should be, I shouldn't worry about them.
Somebody should appreciate me for doing these things and make me the pain that I have. When people get married, Gregorian, they want the other person in the relationship to take their pain away. And so typically what happens is a couple will be married for however long, and one person in the relationship is happier than the other. But the other person who's not happy, the person who's happy, they don't understand why the other person is leaving, because they're actually not, you know, flipping the golden rule around, which is doing unto others as they would like to have done unto them, because they're oblivious that their needs are being met, their needs are being, like, taken care of, and they have no idea that they're crucifying the person that they actually really do love.
Yeah, I found that being able to communicate these things in a couple, in a marriage. I'm not married, but all I can speak about from experience is from a couple perspective. Being able to speak about these things and to really try to see the world from your partner's shoes.
Yeah,
it is really amazing, and it's mind blowing to see how they might feel in a certain situation that you didn't think about. And yeah, I'm sure you know much more about this than I do.
No, I mean, we're all people, man. We know that when something is done for us that equals love for us, we appreciate it a lot. And when there's a when we do something for somebody else and they appreciate the sentiment, the understanding of their heart, yeah, they are loved. They feel loved.
Exactly. And what was my question for you? I know that you're using gratitude, and one of the things that are important in a marriage is appreciation for the other person. What do you do usually when it's hard to be grateful?
So it's funny you're asking that question. I was literally thinking about it right before we got on the call. And so the easiest thing to do is to go things that you're actually grateful for. And you can arrive to being grateful for them, and even in their hardest, prickly moments, eventually. But it's the process that I use is, okay, this situation is happening right now. I'm really upset. And I'm going to think about something general. Think about, you know, there's a blanket of snow on the ground right now. I'm living in Denver, Colorado, and I just moved from Hawaii, and I haven't seen snow in a long time. I'm just like grateful that there's like just snow everywhere. And I'm just laying in my bed and thinking about, all right, how nice it feels to be warm. Right, just how nice it is to be inside. Right,
yeah, exactly.
been a lot of times outside and just like miserable. And so, at some point though, you have enough momentum where you're feeling good enough. You know, maybe a butterfly came by, a bumblebee, or a flower, or whatever. You just stopped and you just like recognized that moment and had gratitude for it. And you have such momentum that an opportunity comes up to deal with the thing that you didn't like. And then you look at the thing that is happening in your life that you don't like, and you acknowledge that you are the one who actually brought it into your life. That person is not like bringing that into your life. You brought it into your life. And once you own that, and then you forgive yourself. And you look at yourself. So my girlfriend, her son, they had some fallings out, and she got some advice from a woman who said, hey, you need to not you need to, but she recommended looking at her son with just sheer adoration, regardless of what she was doing. And so if you can do that for yourself and just like, hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate that you are on this planet and you're talking to yourself. That you got that angry about that situation, and you drew even more situations that drew even more anger into your life. And you just say, you know what? At least you're here on this planet, right? It's you playing chopsticks on the piano, right? And even though you have the entire universe that's just like behind you, loving you and saying, hey, I want you to like be amazing, and I'm going to, you know, come up behind you and play the piano behind you while you're playing chopsticks. But at least you're out there playing chopsticks, and we are here like supporting you, whether you're angry, whether you are like completely loving of a situation that made you furious, right? you won, you were able to have love when most people wouldn't. My favorite story about that is by Viktor Frankl. He's the author of,
A Man's Search for Meaning.
A Man's Search for Meaning, right. And so, you know, Viktor Frankl, he's like, the people who succeeded most in the Holocaust were people who decided that they were going to love regardless of what was happening. So if the Germans were murdering the people that they loved most, they decided that they were people too, and that they deserved to be loved. And those Jews who were able to do that, or those people who were Holocaust survivors or that were able to do that, like, love acted as a shield for them, because it just, we feel better when we love somebody instead of like hating them for whatever they're doing to us.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned something that's really powerful, and we tend to forget, especially men, appreciating yourself and loving yourself and being compassionate with yourself. We usually, as men, we are taught to be strong and to be hard with ourselves, and we have to overcome any obstacles, and we have to be tough. And this thing with being compassionate and being loving to ourselves is something that's very foreign usually.
And yeah, it's kind of as you sit there and experience feelings that you experience, situations that give you feelings that you don't want to feel, having people that you can actually sit, having other men that you can sit face to face with and just like say, all right, this is how I feel. This is how pathetic I feel. This is how weak I feel. And I feel like just running away and like just becoming a hermit someplace and just like not being on this freaking planet anymore in this capacity, because it's just too much. And having other guys go, remember their own life experiences and how pathetic and weak they feel. And they're like, okay, yeah, I actually acknowledge feeling like that too. And they appreciate you for like being willing to tell you how freaking pathetic you feel in the moment, because it allows them to do the same thing. And they're like, okay, this is the man that I actually want to be. So, but I'm going to let myself and forgive myself for crucifying myself for hating how weak I am.
Yeah. But the thing is also, I don't know how your experience was, but for me, it was this kind of feelings and things like these were mocked between guys. Like, if you talk about this kind of stuff, it's like the reaction usually is to make fun of you, and to, even if they, I know that they have the same kind of feelings and the same kind of situations, but they usually fight them off by making a mockery out of the other person and by making fun. I don't know if you had this kind of experience.
Well, if I think when you have a situation in your life where you've lost the people that you love most, where you're not able to like even have conversations with your children because you were so needy and so mandating on other people that they treat you a certain way, or that they accept you. When you actually have gone through your own Holocaust and you can just say, hey, here's what I'm going through. Here's the situation in my life. And I'm not going to quit on it. For some reason, like, I was put here on this planet for a purpose, and I want to see what it's all about. You know, if this planet's going to take me out, then let it take me out. But when you talk to people about the losses that you incurred and how your father treated you, how your mother treated you, how that transformed and manifested in your own life, in your own relationships and marriages and your relationships with your kids. And you see like everything that you hated about your parents in yourself.
Oh, and yeah.
And then you see your kids acting the same way. And you're like, I can't do anything about this. And I feel worthless and pathetic. And, what I was kind of trying to say there I guess when you were talking about other people, like being, judgmental about expressing those things, the chances are almost, 1,000% Gregorian that you have those same feelings about yourself.
Mm.
Meaning if they're condemning you for, sharing those feelings and it affects you and it upsets you, the chances are like literally 1,000% that you judge yourself for feeling the things that they're accusing you of. You actually think somewhere deep inside of you, you think the same thing.
Hmm. That's a really good one. And it's great that you reach this level of taking responsibility. It's really not easy to take on this kind of responsibility and say, okay, if I'm feeling something like this, it may be something that's in me also from other people. Yeah.
Well, it's Byron Katie's book, Loving What Is. Hugh Len, he heals an entirely criminally mentally insane psychiatric unit with the book Zero Limits, right, from 1984 to 1987. He is like, hey, I'm responsible for the reason that these people are the way they are. I'm going to clean up me. He doesn't see one patient for 3 years, and they literally shut the unit down. It's such a fun place to work at. Yeah, so I'm very brutal about this whole mirror concept, and I just attempt to explain it to other people, and at some point people are like, well, but what about that one thing over there? And no, even that one thing over there, like, it's you. And actually, if you can't see it, I'm not going to get angry at you for not seeing it. It's me.
Yeah. Well, there are things that are really, and it's really easy, especially in a relationship, to say, okay, the other person did that to me, and I have all the rights in the world to be upset or to be angry or to do something that's not okay. And taking responsibility this way is not easy to do, at least not all of the time.
Especially when you're living your own Holocaust, right? Somebody's, if somebody's hurting you or your family, and you have the ability to like remove yourself from that situation, for sure, do that. But those people like ended up in a situation where they couldn't. And so the only thing that they could do was, okay, I need to find love in this situation right now. I want to feel better because this is hell. And I'm guaranteed people who are listening to this are having those situations who are just like, I can't go because of whatever reasons that they're sitting in their situations. And I need the money. I need the connection with this person, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I'm going to love me enough to find other things to love, to find even things about the other person, even if they're the devil incarnate or Satan himself, right? If you're able to look at them and say, you know what? I like their eyes. I like their hair, right? Something that you can believe and just appreciate about the person just starts turning that corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a part of the brain, I think, that For instance, when we want to buy a car, or we actually buy a car, we tend to see that car everywhere. So it's the same here. If we focus on the things that we appreciate in the other person, we tend to see them more, because our brain is wired in that way that we get to see this again and again, and see it like the car that we want or we already bought.
Yeah. So the analogy I think you're using is, if we're appreciating, you know, somebody for their hair, well, then the next time that we see them, maybe they have a smile on their face, because they can feel that energy coming from you towards them. That's appreciation that they're gagging for, and they don't deserve it in any of their actions, but you're offering that love, because, you know, love is eternal. There's not like a bottom of you, right? You can just express it, and regardless of how they're acting in the moment, you're thinking about something else that they're not doing that you actually genuinely appreciate, and they appreciate it, and they can't help but express that and give you something else to appreciate.
Wonderful, yeah. Wanted to ask you, if you could go back in time, what would you tell your younger self about gratitude?
Gregorian, I go back in time all the time. and we can all do it literally right now. All of us can think about moments in our life when we saw our parents not giving us the affection or the things that we needed, or us doing something that, you know, we were sorry for, right? We can literally go to that moment in time. We can time travel, all of us, right now, and go back and say, all right, I was doing that at that moment. And we can stand, you know, kind of afar and look at that kid, right? Look at our parents and say, you know what, just for being on this planet, just for your willingness to come down to Earth and like face the learning planet and do whatever you needed to do here, like, I love you and I accept you. The entire shit show that might be happening right now, like, just like wrap your arms around it and just like, I love you. Like, thank you so much for happening, because it happened to help you become who you are right now, and just like, be grateful for that moment. So I time travel all the time. I do that all the time. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. And it's a really interesting way of seeing things. And yeah, it's not a coincidence that we are here right now on this planet, and that we are living right here, right now, and that possibly, I don't know, maybe someone is inspired by who we are and what we stand for, or God knows only what mission we have and what's our purpose in the greater scheme of things.
Yeah, we're becoming.
Yeah, exactly.
We're returning to what we were. I think something that I heard the other day, Gregorian, was really profound. It's like, we look at God as a all-knowing, all understanding, omniscient, omnipotent, like, being, not needing to experience or not wanting to experience anything new. And I heard something really profound the other day. I was listening to Abraham Hicks. And Abraham basically was saying, they want expansion. I don't know if your listeners know who Abraham Hicks is, but
most probably.
Yeah. Basically, Esther Hicks is translating for this infinite intelligence. And infinite intelligence, it calls itself Abraham through her. And they're saying, we want to expand. And in order to have expansion, you have to have contrast. And so when we are in these moments that we don't like, if we are able to like look at it through the eyes of a infinite intelligence that want to have expansion, and then it's not possible for the expansion to manifest without the contrast, well, then the contrast becomes something that you can have like, oh, what am I supposed to learn in this? What is my higher being? What is God wanting to experience because I'm going through this thing that I don't like? Well, maybe I can like it. What is there to like about this thing that I'm dealing with? Because it's going to act as a launch pad to a desire, a deep desire that I have. And so I'm going to use it as that springboard and be in alignment with my higher self.
Yeah, that's some really interesting perspectives on how we see the things that are challenging us and the things that seem to be not be working the way that we would love them to work, but they have a purpose also, like we do.
Yeah.
Do you have some people in your life that you are grateful for?
Sure. Well, I'm grateful for everybody who has been in my life. And I'm specifically grateful for my girlfriend, Terry Lynn, right now. She actually has her own business. She's a coach for people who have been betrayed and cheated on. And when I met her, she actually was able to see through my book things that I didn't even see about myself. Wow. The things that I refused to feel about myself. And so here's this Navy SEAL. He becomes aware of other people's feelings, but I wasn't able to feel any of my own feelings at all. And she called me on the carpet and was like, no, there's some stuff that's going on. And there was still enough pain in my life. I just understood and knew what she was talking truth. And so, yeah, I really appreciate her for being able to see through still the facade after 10 years of working on, a destroyed marriage and what the heck happened and why can't anything beautiful manifest out of this thing, except for I can talk to other people about their relationships and fix their relationships because they can feel my pain and know I'm not judging them.
Exactly. If, for instance, your experience brought compassion and the capacity to understand other people that are in similar situations and to be able to love them, to be able to guide them. And you wouldn't have been able to do that if you haven't had that kind of experience. It would be like,
you hit it perfectly. You just said it perfectly. If I didn't have any of these things, I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with anybody about the things that they're doing in their relationship. It's really funny. I'm a Navy SEAL and a retired Navy SEAL and talking to people about, No. Your relationship is all jacked up, not because she's doing anything that's upsetting or because you're doing anything upsetting, but because here's where it manifested from, and here's what you're trying to get her to do. You're just trying to run from your own junk.
Yeah, exactly. And men have a tendency to do that, especially in their work, in their careers, and to run away from the feelings. And that's why it's beautiful when you love someone and you really want to be with that person, that you can't escape this. Like, you have to face the feelings and you have to overcome them and to see through them. And even if it's really, really hard sometimes, it's, you grow a lot. Yeah,
I agree.
And I'm sure you have a lot of experience yourself and with the people that you work with about this. And by the way, can you tell us a bit about your book?
Oh, sure. So I wrote the book, A Seal to Heal Your Marriage. It's really an operational guide. Like, it is written like specifically for men, just like, you know, all the the video games out there that are just like hardwired for guys to just like, okay, we're going to go out and plan this mission, or we're going to go accomplish this mission, action oriented. And so, you know, we're sitting here talking about feelings, right? But I wrote this book for a guy who's just like, look, what is going on? And I wrote it from a position of an operational mission planning, like at the very highest levels. This is how a Navy SEAL like conducts a military operation. And it is designed for a man to go and find out what his spouse is, how they are wired. It's written for him to understand how he is wired. It is written for him to develop a plan of action based on understanding how he screwed up everything, how he just like, he just blew it. And he didn't understand how she was wired to, and the things that she was not wired to get right in the relationship. And so she has her own failings and things that she did that she didn't mean to do, right? But you actually brought it into your life to show you something. Anyway, it's written very much in that light, as dedicated as an apology to my ex-wife and children. And I wrote it just because there are people who genuinely adore each other and love each other. And they just can't understand why it's just not working, why happily ever is after isn't working. How come their partner isn't taking away their pain? If you take away your own pain, and it gives them the opportunity to take away their pain, a marriage can be truly, truly fulfilling. I always like saying, you know, over 90% of the time, a divorce is not necessary. However, there are no points for being married and miserable.
That's true. Yeah. And I know that you are, a very big believer in responsibility, and especially in the fact that the man should have the responsibility. And I wanted to ask you about how you see this. And I'm just curious, as a man, like, isn't this like in a relationship something like 50-50, or we are totally responsible for our relationship, either we are a man or a woman?
All right, so I was speaking with a rabbi a few years ago, and he said, okay, Derek, so you have this thing that is upsetting you. And he's like, for a man, the way that men are wired, like we're very compartmentalized. If we have something that is bothering us, and the weight of it is like the weight of a small pebble, if we bring that issue up to our spouse and we want them to take our pain away, right? To them, to a woman, because the way that a woman is wired, she feels the weight of that pebble like it's a boulder. I mean, it's just massive. She cannot endure that weight. And so when a man decides, hey, I'm going to take responsibility for this, I'm going to take that boulder off of you, I'm going to take the rock off of me. That's really the definition of responsibility. Like, hey, I'm 100% responsible for this shit show happening, whatever the heck happened, right? I'm 100% responsible for this. And when that man looks at himself and says, Derek, I forgive you for crucifying yourself, for doing that thing that hurt you and hurt the people in your life that you love. Like, I love you. I forgive you. I'm sorry, right? For crucifying yourself. So that's a definition of responsibility that I heard not too long ago. Mm-hmm. That was responsibility is taking the burden off of other people for not making your life great, and taking the burden off of yourself for not making your life great. So I think that you could see kind of look on your face is like relief. I don't know if people are watching the podcast, if they're going to be able to see your face, but the look on your face is like, I get it. Like, I really appreciate it. If somebody took the weight off of me, right?
Yeah.
And then I took it off of myself, that you just feel the release. happen, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Having this responsibility, for instance, I think of myself as being a responsible person, and I usually take responsibility for my actions, my words, my what I do. But sometimes, like you said, this part was missing inside of me, and it's really beautiful that you brought it up. What do you do afterwards when you take all the responsibility and you're burdened by it, when you have all kinds of pressures on yourself? And yeah, this is a great tip, and I think our audience will appreciate it and will use it also. I surely will.
Yeah, you can just see, like, just go through your yesterday, right? And just like, okay, I need to get this done. I need to get this done. Beat myself up for that, this or that, or the other thing. I did this over thing over here. And I think people, that message is really getting out that, you know, we get to create our own universes, right? We get to create the life that we want. And we are understanding, I think, as a collective, that it's not other people's responsibility to give us the feelings that we want to have, the life experience that we want to have. And that seemed to be, like, you know, an additional, just really a huge gift from the universe, to be able to look at myself and say, fine, I'm a Gregorian. I'm great at saying sorry for what I did, right? But if I continue to do the same thing, whether it's to myself, right, especially to other people, if I do it to other people, then really shame on me. But if I'm crucifying myself, right, I'm sitting there just grateful for everything, right? But I'm at the bottom of the ocean, chained to it, right? And just like looking up at the sun, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And swimming for 10 years, right? But not getting anywhere because I wasn't willing to face things that were, you know, at the bottom of the ocean. The reason that I was like chained down there. And I don't know. I feel like we kind of like got that derailed us a little bit, but
no, I think it's really good, because by taking responsibilities, we tend to take burdens on ourselves also. And even though we get to a point where it's harder to be grateful when we have all those things that are burdening us, and when we don't have the necessary compassion to see ourselves and to love ourselves and to accept ourselves, and we tend to be worked up about the responsibilities and forget about actually being grateful and enjoying the other person. For instance, I think I don't have the experience. Maybe you know. I think it's something like this with children. Like they are amazing beings, but when you take the burden, the responsibility for them, instead of having a feeling of gratitude, most of the time you might feel the pressure of being a parent and having all the responsibilities that are related to them. I don't know if you relate to this.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, and I think this might be a really good tip for our audience.
Yeah, I think, like, basically what you're saying, you're like, hey, you picture like parents like getting frustrated with their children, and instead taking a step back and like, you know what? Why am I mad? Well, I'm mad because I don't want them to have the same. I don't want them to face the same woes in life that I faced, and I'm going to make them make decisions where they don't have to face the feelings that I'm facing or that I refuse to face. And so you get frustrated at them and angry. And so taking that step back and taking that burden off of them to like not carry your burden.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And then forgive yourself for doing that to them.
Exactly. Like that. What's really interesting having this conversation, that I remembered that the way that I'm loving my girlfriend is how I have been loved by my folks. And they usually tend, for instance, to neglect themselves in order to offer. So this is what they did when I was a child. They used to neglect themselves to offer me, for instance, they gave me the best food. If something, I don't know, got burned, they were eating the burned food and they gave me the one that was perfect. And I tend to do the same, and it's really interesting. And I didn't have that example. And I think for parents to be a good example is also important, to not neglect themselves and to be compassionate to themselves, because this is how we work. We copy. We learn by what people do, what our parents do, not what they say. Because they can say that, okay, but with a cigarette in their mouth, they can say, quit smoking. You shouldn't smoke. It's not healthy for you, but you are doing it.
Sure. That's what we're doing all the time. Like, hey, don't treat people kindly. Like, if you see somebody in the store and they're being a jerk to somebody, I have a friend who gets really, really, like, almost like violently angry if he sees like an injustice happening to somebody else. And I've like constantly, I just talked to him for years and just like, you're angry at that. And every time you do it, like, you bring more of that into your life. You bring, like, the thing that you want most is to have fairness and equality, except for you looking at the person over there, right? It's always over there, right?
Yeah.
One thing, there's one thing that Hugh Len says, I want you to notice something about every situation that you arrive in that you don't appreciate. What's the constant that's there? The constant is always you. You're the person who is always there, and you have the ability to clean it up. So if you're seeing an injustice that is happening, then flip the whole scene around and say, where am I treating somebody unfairly? Where am I treating somebody who's treating somebody that not in a fair way? How am I doing that to myself? How am I not treating myself fair?
Yeah.
And just flipping that whole thing around. If you're feeling it, if you have a visceral feeling of against, like, hey, it's not me at all. This is totally something else. This is another person's problem. This is another issue outside of myself, but you're very upset about it. It's in you. Beyond any shadow of any doubt, you're not willing to face a feeling that's there.
Mm. Wonderful, wonderful.
And it's okay. It's okay. You can actually forgive yourself for not being willing to face that. Yeah, I've had guys do that. Just like, hey, I'm unwilling to feel how worthless I feel.
Yeah, this is a really good step, because I've heard about this part of taking responsibility a lot in many books and in many teachings, but I haven't heard about, okay, what do you do after you take responsibility? And I think this is amazing, and it's something that completes the process, and without it, it's just not okay. All right. So,
even that's okay, Gregorian. Like, if somebody's not willing to face the mirror, even that is okay. Like, hey, if they're not in a place where they're willing to face those things, like, even that is something that we can accept and just like, yeah, I don't want to either.
Yeah, sure. It's not something easy to do. We're getting near to the end of our discussion today.
Okay.
I want to ask you, where can our audience find you, and how can you be of service?
Okay. So I have a website called A Seal to Heal Your Marriage. And there's a process there. You can download a free first chapter of my book there. And then it takes you to a road down to life discoveries. And there's an online curriculum there. Basically, after that curriculum is finished, then we actually have an ability to, like, go through some coaching. There's some procedural stuff that has to be understood. And that way we can actually all speak the same language. And plus, if somebody's really, really in a situation, a relationship that's terrible, there's some people who just want to complain about the other person being in a terrible relationship. But if you're somebody who is willing and ready to take responsibility, 100% responsibility for your life, this will be a life transforming situation. And if you genuinely love your partner, and you genuinely want to have a better experience on this planet, it's really a phenomenal process. However, there's a vetting process. Like, hey, how much pain are you really, really in? Are you really ready to commit to being 100% responsible for your life? So the website is asealtohealyourmarriage.com. And there's some tabs across the top for coaching and the free chapter and how to order the book and coaching and the whole process.
Awesome. So thank you so much for what you shared with us and for all the insights and your life experience, Derek. It was amazing. Thank you.
Hey, Gary, and thanks for your time today. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a nice sleep.
Yeah.
Get ready to start on my day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. Help us reach our goal of inspiring 100,000 people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones, with your Facebook friends. And if you loved this episode, please write a review on iTunes. Search for the Gratitude Podcast. By the way, what are you grateful for right now?